To some, it's considered the Magna Carta of the environmental movement. To others, it's a financial drain and threat to private property. The Endangered Species Act has been on the books for almost 4 decades now, and all this week we'll be taking a look at its effect on the wildlife and people of New Mexico. It's a conversation that can really only start in one place, with a little fish so, well, basic, that even its most dedicated caretakers are a little short on thrilling adjectives.
You know, the fin length is this big, the eye is larger than, the scales are like, but in general it's just a little gray fish about 3 inches long.
But as KUNM's Cecil Overgaard reports, the Rio Grande silvery minnow, perhaps more than any other species in New Mexico, has come to represent the power and limitation of the Endangered Species Act.
Rebecca Hauptman, who you heard just before, may not be under any illusion about the silvery minnow's star appeal, but as curator of the biopark's aquatic conservation facility, it's understandable that she'd be a little defensive of her charges.
You're either for conservation or you're not. You can't just support the charismatic fuzzy species on the National Geographic Channel. All species are significant, whether or not you can get all warm and fuzzy over watching them rear their young.
Which is exactly what Hauptman does.
So these are broodstock silvery minnow. These were captured as juveniles from the river in 2010.
Hauptman points to a cylindrical tank where thousands of minnows dart in circles, occasionally sending out a flash of silvery light.
We have broodstock on hand, in part as a refuge population in case there's a catastrophe in the wild. They would not be extinct.
The program also aims to increase genetic diversity through egg capture and captive breeding at a cost of $400,000 a year, all with the hope that someday the Endangered Species Act will make it all irrelevant as the minnow regains its footing, or finning, in the wild.
What I would say is that the Endangered Species Act protects species as surrogates to their habitats.
Michelle Shaughnessy is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Southwest Region.
If you look at the species that are highlighted as being sensitive, being on the endangered or threatened species list, those species represent those ecosystems that are in peril, that have something going on with them that we need to take a look at.
In other words, a story about the minnow is really a story about the Rio Grande. The minnow was listed as endangered in 1994, and 5 years later, Fish and Wildlife designated the entire Middle Rio Grande as critical habitat required for the minnow's recovery. Agencies with an interest in any critical habitat have to tell Fish and Wildlife how their actions will affect the species. Fish and Wildlife then issues what's essentially a yay or nay in the form of a biological opinion, although people like Fish and Wildlife's Charna Lefton say it's not meant to be a threat.
The biological opinion process, like the ESA, is another way to bring people together.
And that, according to many, is the real strength of the Endangered Species Act. Of course, getting people together and getting them to agree are two very different things. In the silvery minnow situation, there are 16, yes, 16 stakeholders, water users and managers, who have formed the Middle Rio Grande Collaborative Program to work on long-range planning for the fish and the river. Discussions at collaborative program meetings are heavy on alphabet soup.
Population monitoring, the CPUE or whatever.
Exactly how much water has to be in the river, when and for how long can end in data battles between dueling scientists. And that's not to mention the looming question of who's going to give up what when it really comes down to the wire. It's a turbulent marriage and one that sometimes needs the help of a professional facilitator. But, says Jim Wilbur, it works.
The silvery minnow is doing well.
Wilbur is with the Bureau of Reclamation, the agency that, along with the Army Corps of Engineers, sits at the head of the table.
It fluctuates a lot, but I believe that, you know, the silvery minnow is doing better now than it was about a decade ago in the late 90s. And the irrigation users and the municipal users have gotten the water they needed. So I think it's been successful with all of its challenges and bureaucracy.
The collaborative program is now attempting something of a self-reinvention as the focus shifts from keeping the minnow alive to actually getting it to the point where it could come off the endangered species list. But Wilbur admits that progress will be incremental.
With all that's at stake, with the Rio Grande being the lifeblood both for the people and for the ecosystem and the fish, change is really difficult.
And that's a big reason why many environmentalists have thrown up their hands in frustration, calling the collaborative program, quote, one of the more non-functioning groups in the history of the ESA.
I don't think the act really has proven to force anybody to do anything they didn't want to do.
One of those people is Steve Harris, executive director of Rio Grande Restoration.
People in the collaborative program participate so that they can protect their interests. That's a natural resistance to the sort of fundamental change that I think would lead to true recovery.
Harris says one major improvement would be to put the science-minded Fish and Wildlife Service at the head of the table instead of the water users who sit there now. He says that would put the focus back on the minnow, even while he admits it may not be a comfortable role for the agency.
Almost everybody I know over there is a biologist, so they're not inherently policymakers, nor are they skilled in difficult political maneuvers. You know, they didn't read Machiavelli like they should have.
But Harris predicts that if the current drought continues without some major changes aimed at water conservation, the Middle Rio Grande could be headed for a standoff akin to the Klamath Falls situation in 2001.
In southern Oregon, there's a battle over water. Struggling farmers in Klamath Falls are locked in a dispute with federal water regulators. The government has been withholding irrigation water this year in order to protect endangered fish species.
In probably 2001 or 2002, we were very, very close to that point here.
Head of the Interstate Stream Commission, Esteban Lopez, says the whole point of the collaborative program has been to avoid exactly that kind of conflict by getting farmers, cities, and conservationists to work together bit by bit toward a mutually beneficial solution.
I don't think sweeping change across the board would be effective. I think that we're going to kind of continue to fine-tune our operations. And also people are going to begin to better understand what has bigger effects on fish and so forth. And so we'll know where we need to make more changes as we learn more.
And even if environmentalists are less than thrilled with its pace, most will admit that for now, the Endangered Species Act is one of, if not the best tool that exists for protecting animals and ecosystems. What's that quote about democracy being the worst form of government except for all the others? It might apply here, too. On the Conservation Beat, I'm Sissel Overgaard, KUNM.